A house is made of wood and stone, but only love can make a home. Welcome to the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, helping you make your home into one you'll love even more. Here are your hosts, Dan Hansen and Betsy Thompson.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to the third Saturday of 2018. It sounds so important when you say it like that, doesn't it?
Great.
The third Saturday of 2018. I don't think it's ought. How do they used to say that?
That means it's 2018.
Yeah, that's not right. Anyway, welcome. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. And we have a very packed show for today.
Right. The beginning was just me winging it. But yeah, the rest is planned. So let's just get to that. And yeah, it's going to be good because, as we mentioned last week, mm-hmm, we were at the Remodeling a New Home show in,
yes,
Grand Rapids.
Yep.
And we talked to a ton of listeners. One of the most common questions that came up was, how do I paint my kitchen cabinets? Mm-hmm. So we're going to address that today. And we're also going to tip you off as to how you can win $100 gift certificate to Repco Light or Port City Paints to get you started on that next project.
Yes, but you have to wait until the fourth segment, so you have to stay tuned through the entire show to hear about all that. Before we get to it, though, I have a tendency to save money at all costs. You know, I like to pinch my pennies, and that means I buy really cheap stuff that looks like it's going to do what I want it to do.
The same thing.
Yeah. The problem being, it
never
doesn't
works.
So today, we've got a list of tools that you absolutely cannot afford to skimp on and go cheap on.
And in about 15 minutes or so, we've got another Ask Repco Light segment. But before we get to all of that, Kent County has seen a concerning uptick in lead poisoning cases. In fact, the numbers of children with elevated lead levels in a handful of Grand Rapids zip codes has risen alarmingly. Now, right now, we have Paul Hahn, Executive Director of the Healthy Homes Coalition in Grand Rapids, in the studio with us to help us wrap our heads around the issue and, more importantly, what we can do about it. Paul, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Now, you're from the Healthy Homes Coalition, and I guess what I want to start with is just letting you tell us what exactly you guys do.
Okay, so today we're going to talk a lot about lead-based paint, mm-hmm, and the hazard that is inherent in that for young children, lead poisoning. So we do a lot of work around that, and that's what we really grew out of. But we really like to look at the house more comprehensively,
okay,
because there are other things that can hurt kids. A couple years ago, the state of Michigan did a strategic plan around healthier housing, mm-hmm, and they identified really four key areas. Lead paint, of course.
Yep.
The other big one is asthma. Things that trigger people's asthma. So just think mold and moisture and pests and pets and stuff like that in housing.
Okay.
So we work on those things. And then there's accidental injury, which people often think of. And that's a real hodgepodge of things.
Yeah, that could,
right,
be. Boy, my home. I'm always
accidentally
injured. I was
going to say, you're the one who was,
yeah,
injured,
that's
not
mine.
The kids.
I trip, I fall, I step on stuff.
Yep, falling down the stairs, that kind of stuff. And then the last one is, surprisingly, is lung cancer. And that really is related to both radon and indoor tobacco smoke.
So what do you guys exactly do? You're focused on those. How do you, yep, help people?
So we work really kind of in three areas. We do direct services where we go into homes. We have a program that specifically targets kids with asthma, high utilizers of the healthcare system for asthma to try to get at those triggers that are the root cause of hospitalization.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also have another more general program that looks at particularly low-income households and making sure those homes are safe. A lot of that is focused on lead-based paint.
Okay.
And so that's kind of our direct service. We also do a lot of community education like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then we also work at the policy level to make sure that our policy is supportive of healthy housing for all people.
You mentioned earlier about the lead-based paint, mm-hmm, the lead poisoning stuff.
Yeah.
I know in Kent County, Grand Rapids, we've seen an uptick.
Yep. And
in
across
some of these
the
cases.
Across the state as well, there was,
okay,
an uptick in recent years.
What do you think's going on?
Well, you know, my best hunch, and I don't have solid data on this, but my best hunch is that with a recovering economy, we're seeing two things happening. We're seeing housing prices going up, so people might be living in housing that before they might have taken a pass on,
okay,
just because housing's getting expensive.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you've got a real fixed income, you're, you know, minimum wage worker, 30 hours a week, just barely getting by, you got to find something.
Gotcha.
And I think the other thing that's happening is there's a lot of renovation going on. And a renovation can be done very safely, but it can also be done in ways that create hazards with lead.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's what we kind of want to dig into.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is a really terrifying thing if you have kids. Now, we know that kids should be tested for lead. Are there,
right,
certain ages? And how often should kids be tested?
That's a, you know, it's a topic of conversation right now. The recommendations right now are is that we look at kids and we ask them a series of questions to see if they're at high risk. Mm-hmm. Do they live in pre-1978 housing that's being renovated? Do they have a sibling that's been lead poisoned? Are they on Medicaid? Just because Medicaid children have a much more preponderance of the problem. Mm-hmm. And then we test those kids. There is some movement amongst advocates and folks in public health to say maybe we ought to just test all kids. The challenge is you're still then using kids as kind of the lead detector. Mm-hmm. The hazards in the environment, our organization would like to see a move towards testing environments before the kids get exposed. We think both are important.
Mm-hmm. So what is a lead test for kids? Like what happens? Yeah. Is it a cheek swab? Is it what can parents anticipate if, you know, they're concerned?
Some docs are still kind of old school, some might say, but it's a good methodology and send them to the lab for a venous draw, just like your cholesterol check you have to get after fasting. Many others, though, most public health departments now are doing a finger prick. It's just a poke and a little bit of blood on a blotter paper. Yeah.
Oh, that's not so bad.
No. Kids don't necessarily like it, but they can handle it.
I was more worried about me. I don't like blood a whole lot.
Yeah, it's harder on the parents.
It's not mine. Yeah.
Right. So the finger prick is okay.
It's a little better.
You do that all the time anyway.
You're listening to the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, and we're in the studio with Paul Hahn, Executive Director of the Healthy Homes Coalition of West Michigan. And we're talking about lead poisoning in the home and just some of the concerns with that. Now, you mentioned that in Grand Rapids, there's been a bit of an uptake, and you said across the state, in some of the lead poisoning cases. And you mentioned that a lot of it is because of, or at least a supposed idea is that with, you know, the economy growing like it is, housing costs have gone up, and also there's remodeling going on. And you talked about how there's a safe way to renovate and there's a not safe way to renovate. I know we can't get into all of that, but I guess some of the main concerns with renovation, do you want to address some of that?
Yeah, at a really high level, the way kids are lead poisoned is actually dust. It's less kids eating paint chips, and it's more about the dust in the house.
That they breathe in.
Yeah, well, and they get it on their fingers when they're crawling around, and then it gets in their mouth. A lot of the kids lead poisoned are 1 and 2 year olds. They're doing that hand-to-mouth thing.
Gotcha. Mm.
And so, you know, if you've renovated a home or remodeled a kitchen, you know how dusty and messy that is.
Right.
And so in an older house, when we're working on older painted surfaces that might have lead paint on them, we've got to control that dust. We've got to become neat freaks about it. And so there's some basic principles. One, set up containment so that dust doesn't go throughout the house.
Gotcha.
Two, work lead safe. So there are ways to control the spreading of dust. If you think about it, power sanding, probably not a good idea.
Right.
That's a prohibited activity and things like that. Working wet is a recommendation just to trap that lead dust.
And wet sanding.
Yeah,
and all
exactly.
Of that. Gotcha.
Exactly. So containment, safe work practices, and then cleaning up really well after
getting
you've done the job.
Getting all the chips or anything, any dust that might have been left behind.
Yeah. Using the shop vac on lead dust is just going to transport that through the house. So we got to get a HEPA vacuum on it, or we've got to use, you know, mop and bucket method to get that lead dust cleaned up. So because lead dust is very fine. And that's where it's become really challenging for people. Even in these older houses without renovation, that dust just kind of stays behind. It's very hard to clean up, but it does get on kids' hands and it does get into their bodies.
That was going to be my next question. What about people who say, well, I'm not renovating a house right now. I'm not painting. I'm not doing anything. I'm just living there. Is that still a concern?
It can be. You know, we've been into homes where just kind of freakishly, it's just a legacy in the home. Somebody renovated 30 years ago and they made a god-awful mess. It's very dusty and it's still there.
Right.
But the other thing is homes, particularly with older windows, that window scraping up and down is creating a fine lead dust, and it's a lead dust factory.
To be a problem?
Oh, yeah. It takes very little lead dust to poison a child. Very little.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
So when you talk about that, I know that's something that people can do themselves. It's something that they can hire out if they want to, but I am assuming that the costs start to go up very quickly. And I know just getting your home tested for lead is an expensive proposition. And I know that you guys have a program called Get the Lead Out, or you facilitate that program.
We're a partner.
Okay. Yep. Can you walk us through that program?
So the government has recognized that this is a problem, and there are resources that they're attempting to get to people to help. And so some of those resources come from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. So the city of Grand Rapids has a grant. I don't know if they currently have one, but Muskegon County had one for a while.
Gotcha.
State of Michigan has one. And so you call those organizations, and if you're a low to moderate income household, or if you're a landlord who rents to low to moderate income folks, there's assistance available to call in the pros to get the work done.
Okay.
And that's always our recommendation is, you know, get somebody who's been trained and knows how to deal with this. Mm-hmm. Homeowners can work safely, but it's a lot of learning. It's a pretty high-risk proposition. We always say, you know, first option would be to get the pros in there.
So how do people, if they're interested in at least pursuing some of this, how do they figure out whether they qualify or don't qualify for a program like this?
Yeah, first off, we'd be happy to kind of help people out and sort them out at our with our organization. We're online and we can be called. I would say call your local municipal government and they may be able to point you in the right direction in the city of Grand Rapids. It's a Get the Lead Out program at gettheleadoutgr.com. We have some information about the Muskegon program there. We have some information about the state program there. So you might be able to dig it out of the internet at that website.
Okay. So start with gettheleadoutgr.com and kind of go from there.
Right. And then you can call your local city government and they might be able to point you in the right direction. We're always willing to help. 616-241-3300.
All right.
We'll put links in the show notes for all of these websites.
Sounds good. Paul, that's basically all the time we've got. This is something that we could really go on and talk about because there are a lot of concerns. I'm sure people listening are scratching their heads now and looking around.
Yeah, especially if your home was built before 1978, you really need to be paying attention to this. The older your home, the more concerned you should be, and you need to be getting on these websites and just having these guys come out and check to be sure that you don't have that lead. Because Paul made a great point. It could just be the windows, even if you're not remodeling. So think about that. We'll have the links in the show notes.
Okay. So now, what do you do if you've got oil-based paint on your trim and it predates 1978 and you want to repaint it? What do you do and how do you do it safely? Well, we've got a listener who has that exact question and we're going to answer it when we come back. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repco Light Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Did you enjoy that interview as much as I did?
Oh, yeah.
That
Paul
was really fun.
Great.
Yeah, we just talked with Paul Hahn, the executive director of the Healthy Homes Coalition in Grand Rapids, and he had a ton of information that he crammed into about 8.5 minutes,
yes.
All about lead poisoning, how to renovate your home safely, all kinds of information. If you missed it, you're going to want to go back to repcolite.com at the end of this show, and we'll have the audio posted. You can check it out. It was a great, great segment. And we really want to thank Paul for taking time to be with us.
Yeah, that was fantastic. And don't forget, coming up, we're going to talk about some key tools that you really cannot afford to go cheap on at all, because that's what I tend to do. And we'll also be answering the most common question that we got this past weekend at the Remodeling a New Home show in Grand Rapids. How do I paint my kitchen cabinets?
The question came up all the time.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll dig into it at the end of the show.
Yes.
And speaking of questions, let's move on, because we actually got some questions from some listeners in email format.
Yeah.
And we want to dig into those right now. You know, questions in a paint project come up all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes people are nervous or uncomfortable or embarrassed to ask those questions.
Right.
But the thing is, we get them from paint contractors, you know, who do this all day long. All that to say, never be shy or embarrassed about asking these questions.
Absolutely
it's how
not.
You'll move ahead and get the results that you want.
Mm-hmm.
In this particular instance, we got a question from a customer who has oil-based paint on her trim, and it's been there for 40 years or more, and she wants to repaint it, and she wants to know what primer to use.
Right.
So pretty straightforward question,
you
would think.
You would think. Now, the thing to remember, as we talked about in the last segment, was if your home was built before 1978, which means painted before 1978, lead is always a concern. Now, typically, we just recommend that you wash the trim down with some TSP and water and a Scotch-Brite pad, rough it up, things like that. The problem is, if you might have lead-based paint in there, you do not want to be scratching through that surface.
Mm-hmm.
So just some TSP and water with a rag is all you want to do to get that surface clean. You don't want to be cutting through.
Right. In this situation, because it's oil-based paint that's been there for 40-plus years, skip the scuff sanding. You don't want to put dust in the air. We're recommending in this particular case that you just wash it clean with some TSP and a rag.
Right.
And once you've got all of that set, really all you need to do is prime it. And the primer that we'd recommend is Stix Primer. It's made by Benjamin Moore. It's a bonding primer.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made to bond to all kinds of crazy, tough-to-stick-to surfaces.
Right.
Glass, plastic, backsplash tile. If you ever need to paint your backsplash, you've got tile there and you just want a quick fix, Stix Primer. It'll make it work. So in this instance, oil-based trim that could have lead-based paint on it, Just prime it with sticks.
Right. The reason we're recommending this is because quite often the concern is with that glossy, slippery surface of an oil-based paint, nothing's going to stick to it. Sticks will stick to it. You can also go with an oil-based primer if you would prefer to do that. Repcolite's Pro Flow is a great choice for that as well. So either of those will work in this instance.
Right. Now, if you had a different scenario, as Betsy pointed out earlier, and you've got a glossy paint, maybe it's a latex, maybe it's an oil that was painted just a few years ago, or anything after 1978,
right,
and it's glossy, we'd recommend the scuff sanding.
Yes.
We're only avoiding the scuff sanding in this instance because there's the potential that that could be lead-based paint.
Right.
So anyway, wash it, prime it with either of those primers, and then it's just a matter of top coating it.
Right.
And there are a number of great options out there. Repcolite's Hallmark is a ceramic paint. It's really tough, really washable. You could get a semi-gloss or a satin sheen on the trim. Contractors use that all the time.
Yeah.
That would be a great product.
Right.
Benjamin Moore's Advance would be another product. Works really well.
It's fantastic. It's a modified oil, which means you get the benefits of an oil, the flow and leveling of an oil, the durability, but you get soap and water cleanup, which makes it a very unique product.
Right. There are a lot of options out there when it comes to finish paint. Just stop in at any Repcolite or Port City paint store. Tell us what you're doing. We'll recommend the product that'll work out best for you.
Right. We're taking paint questions on the Repcolite Home Improvement Show. We covered some old trim that a customer wanted to repaint. Now we've got one about wallpaper in a bathroom. The gentleman moved into this cottage and he said that the previous owner wallpapered above the shower stall, which is kind of unique. He wants to know if he should tear it down, if this is a concern, or if he's fine to just leave it up there.
Right. He didn't know what to do. He's looking at it, knew it wasn't this normal situation, and wanted to make sure he did the right thing because it's a new cottage and you want to have fun at your new cottage,
right,
and not sit here and look at peeling paper or all kinds of problems down the road.
Yes.
Now, in answering the question, it's a little bit tough to pin down. You know, normally we don't see wallpaper above a shower. Normally we would recommend not doing that. You know, the steam from the shower, all of those things can kind of wreak some havoc, cause the paper to peel, things like that.
Right.
So typically, if you were doing this, we wouldn't recommend it. But for this situation, since the paper's already there, you just need to start by assessing what exactly you've got going on.
Right.
You know, what you're looking for are obvious problems. If the paper is coming off the wall or peeling up in a large manner, not little bits of corners peeling up. We're talking about significant peeling.
Right.
You know, that's not going to get better.
No.
It's going to just get worse.
Yes.
If you see mold and mildew, again, that's a really bad sign. You've got some issues going on.
Right.
Get the paper down.
Right.
If you've got the wrong kind of paper on the wall, this is a little trickier. It's not quite as obvious as some of the other problems.
Yeah, people don't realize that there are different types of papers out there. A vinyl coated paper, you're much better off with. If it's a natural material, natural paper, it's more prone to mold and mildew because it absorbs that moisture. So you're going to want to take that down.
Right. So if you see any of those things, if you see that it's the wrong paper or large amounts of mold and mildew, if that's the case, get the paper down.
Right.
If you don't see all of those things and the paper looks to be the right paper, go ahead and leave it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you decide to take it down, just strip it off. Use Diff wallpaper stripper.
Right.
Once it's off, clean the wall really well to get all the paste residue off, and then prime it with a product like Guards. It's a water-based primer. It's made to cover over where you've stripped off wallpaper and also to cover over damaged drywall areas.
Yes.
Which you might have in abundance when you're done stripping the wallpaper.
Exactly.
So prime with Guards, top coat with a good acrylic latex.
Mm-hmm.
We'd recommend a satin sheen or a semi-gloss. You could also use Benjamin Moore's Aura Bath and Spa, which is available in a matte finish.
Right. And once you've done all of this, the key to making this all work, use the bath fan. That's our last tip for the day. Use the bath fan. It's there for a reason.
Right. Wallpaper is okay in a bathroom.
Right.
You just need to make sure you install the right kind of paper and make sure you run that bath fan.
Yes.
That's the key.
Exactly. All right. That's it for the Ask Repcolite segment today. Remember, if you've got a paint question or really any other question,
any question,
email us radio@repcolite.com.
Now, when we come back, it's time to talk about tools and how Betsy usually pinches pennies
and
when
so
she's buying.
And so do you.
Yes. I also pinch pennies when I'm buying tools.
Yes.
And I always regret it.
Me too.
Yes. We're going to talk about a number of tools that you absolutely cannot afford to cheap out on. You're not going to want to miss this. Stay tuned.
Helping you turn your house into your dream home. This is the Repcolite Home Improvement Show, presented by Benjamin Moore on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Hope your Saturday is just clicking right along.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost at the last segment, and that's cool because that's when we're going to tell you how you can win the $100 gift certificate
mm-hmm.
to Repcolite or Port City Paints.
Right.
It's easy.
Yes.
But we got to tell you how to do it before you can do it.
Yes.
But right now, we want to talk about tools because having the right tools makes every project easier. I mean, that's
yes.
so obvious, and yet we have discovered that so profoundly, you and I.
Mm-hmm.
In doing the show, we've actually yes. taken on a number of new projects that neither mm-hmm. one of us have done before.
Right.
And I have discovered that I am not utterly incompetent when it comes to woodworking. I have thought I was. And it turns
right.
out the reason uh-huh. I was so incompetent.
Right.
was because of the tools I was working with. I had a very tiny little bench saw mm-hmm. that I'd put on the floor of my garage because I didn't even have a good stand for it.
Yes, I've seen this.
Cheap little chop saw and a number of little tools, and nothing worked really well. And in the end, I always wrote it off as my lack of knowledge. Now
right.
we work in an area where we've got access to really nice tools, a very nice miter saw, very nice table saw,
mm-hmm.
you know, all kinds of different things. And we are making stuff that looks modestly cool. It looks good. And
yes.
it's all about having the right tools.
Well, and we always thought that we had the right tools, but not going to lie, they may have been a little bit cheaper of the right tools. And so they just didn't work quite as well.
And that's what we want to talk about here. See, we found a Popular Mechanics article about tools that you should never, ever cheap out on.
No.
It's a great article. And we're going to walk through it and kind of put our own spin on it.
And we'll post a link in the show notes for this article just in case you want to read
right,
it.
So you can go and check it out.
Yep.
Anyway, when it comes to tools that you should never, ever mm-hmm. cheap out on, let's start with wrenches.
Yeah, because you can never go wrong. With a good set of wrenches.
Never go wrong with a good set of wrenches.
No.
There are so many things that we use them for.
Yeah.
Plumbing.
Lawnmower blades.
Wrenching things. Hence
wow,
the name, wrenches.
Really? Yeah.
So anyway, you use them on cars. You use them all over the place.
Yeah.
So many different times.
Mm-hmm.
Get a good set. And as
right.
always, what that means has to be tempered by what you can afford.
Well,
you know, you can
yeah.
go buy really good wrenches for $250 uh-huh. bucks for a set. That's
excuse
a little
me while
bit
I joke.
Yeah, a little steep for me.
Yes.
So find that zone that you're comfortable paying
mm-hmm.
and just get the best thing you can in that range. Now, for instance, we looked online and found that there's a particular set by Gear Wrench.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 20-piece set.
Yeah.
And the wrenches have the closed end is ratcheting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's really nice. You've got that extra bonus of a ratcheting
that part of those
hand
wrenches.
Wrench.
Yep.
Right. And the whole set runs for around $60. They're really well reviewed.
Mm-hmm.
They come with most of the sizes that you need. I believe the 11 millimeter size
mm-hmm.
is gone. But you get your standard, you know, your SAE sizes
right.
and you get your metric sizes minus the 11 millimeter for some reason,
right.
which is a gripe. That's one of the complaints
yeah.
Regarding the reviews.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still very good wrenches with a lifetime warranty. Get those
yes.
and have a full set and keep them together.
Right. You also need a really good ratchet set. Now, I've had ratchet sets before that were a little bit more on the cheap side, and the ratcheting mechanism strips out and it just
oh.
spins around and around and does nothing.
Now, listen, that is what I've got. And I analyzed this
mm-hmm.
because I guess dumb, lazy.
Okay.
I don't know what the answer is.
Uh-huh.
I have these two sets that are exactly as you described.
Yep.
And most of the time it doesn't work. Why don't I replace it? I don't know. I think it's because I tell myself I don't use this very much. I don't do a lot of mechanical stuff, so I don't need to buy good ratchets. I'll
oh.
just make do. And I think that that makes sense until that moment comes when I
mm-hmm.
need it. And then I'm completely struggling and frustrated. Don't do that. Get a good set. They don't have to be expensive again.
No.
You know, you can find them online for anywhere from $30 up to however much you want to pay.
Yeah.
Somebody will take as much money as you want to give. There's a place
right.
out there. But you can find a good set for $30 in that range. Get a good set, even if you don't think you use it all the time.
Right. And make sure you read reviews before you buy things like this, because I've heard of people buying on brand name alone, and brand names change over time. What used to be good is not always good today. So be sure that you're reading reviews before you're buying these things.
Right. We're talking about tools on the Repcolite Home Improvement Show,
mm-hmm.
specifically tools that you should not cheap out on.
Right.
Another tool that's mm-hmm. worth really, you know, putting your money into is a compound miter saw.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'd actually recommend a sliding one. Okay.
Yeah, you can get bigger boards in that
there
way.
There are all kinds of different things when it comes to miter saws. You
mm-hmm.
can get a saw that just does the angle, the bevels.
Right. Yep.
Then you can get a compound miter saw that will do bevels
mm-hmm.
and angles.
Yep.
What we're talking about is a sliding one, which will do all of what we just said,
mm-hmm.
but you can also pull it out and get an extra few inches on the width of boards you can cut.
Usually they're like, what, 6-inch boards? And with that, it's about 10 inches, I think.
It depends on the size. But yes, 10 inches, possibly a little more than that. And the reason that you want to do that is, first off, having a miter saw is a must-have tool if you're going to start doing any kind of woodworking. Installing trim or moldings in your home, there's just so many uses. Mm-hmm. And I did exactly what I'm recommending not doing. But this was a while ago.
Right.
I bought one, but I bought the cheapest one I could find. Now, it was a compound one, so I'm glad about that. Yep. I can at least do the angles and the bevels.
Yep.
But I can only cut 6-inch widths on my planks. And that has turned out to be such a pain in the neck. We just installed a floor in my bathroom. We talked about it on the show just a few weeks ago. And the planks were about 7 inches long. I could not cut them on that miter saw, which is what I wanted to do. That was the ideal way to cut those. Instead, we had to put them on the table saw, and there were issues with it binding from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
Just running it through evenly was a struggle. Don't do that. If you're going to use the tool, invest the extra money when you purchase it.
Yes.
And get a good one. Don't buy something just a little bit less, thinking you're going to save $50 and then regret it for a longer time.
Yeah. Real quick, some other things that you really don't want to skimp on. Flashlights. You want to make sure that they are bright, so buy a good one.
Mom,
maybe
just
try it out.
Exactly. My mom, I had a sliver, and I went to my mom to fix it.
Wow.
There's more to the story, folks. It doesn't sound but I don't have time to tell it. So anyway, I had a sliver, so I went to mom's house, and she whips out a flashlight, and I couldn't tell if it was even on or not.
Uh-huh.
Terrible flashlight. Useless.
Yes.
Get a good one.
Yes.
Get a good screwdriver set.
Yeah, because you can buy one, for a dollar at the dollar store.
Done that.
I knew you were going to say that.
What could go wrong with a screwdriver set? And yet, all the shafts separated from the handles.
Yeah.
And so it just turns. You turn the handle
it's
like
cheap
crazy.
Cheap metal, they'll break.
Yes. I couldn't even tell that I wasn't unscrewing anything.
Yes.
Don't do that. Get a good set.
Right. Also, drills and impact drivers. Make sure you spend a little bit of extra money. You don't want them burning up as you're using them.
All kinds of tools. We could just keep going and going. For now, just take home the idea that there are certain tools out there, and if you're going to use them a lot, it's worth dropping the money to get a good set.
Right. Now, coming up next at the Grand Rapids Remodeling and New Home Show, a question kept coming up. How do I paint my cabinets? I feel like we answered it at least 40 times, if not more. Now we're going to make it 41 right here on the radio. When we come back, we'll walk you through the project and tell you everything that you need to know. Stay tuned.
If you want to take your DIY skills up a rung, the RepcoLite Home Improvement Show is here to give you a boost on News Radio Wood 1300 and 106.9 FM.
Well, welcome back. Here we are in the fourth segment already.
Mm-hmm.
Moving fast. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson.
Now, if you happen to be just tuning in, where were you? We've been doing the show since 8.
They were still sleeping.
I guess so. If you are just tuning in, though, you did miss some pretty good stuff. We talked to the Healthy Homes Coalition of Grand Rapids about some lead poisoning concerns that are rising in Grand Rapids and what you can do about them. We talked about a bunch of tools that you shouldn't cheap out on like I usually do. And then we answered a bunch of paint questions.
Right.
If you missed all of that, you can go online at repcolite.com and you can listen to it all there so that you don't feel like you missed out on anything.
Right. Now, let's quit talking about the past because we have things to get to
right
fourth
now. Segment. Let's keep moving.
But we're actually going to talk about the past.
In order to get to the present. Right.
How weird and messed up is that?
Oh, well, that's what it is.
No, we're going to talk about the past because this weekend we were at the New Homes and Remodeling Show in Grand Rapids. And we got the same question over and over again. Can I paint my cabinets? If so, how do I do it? Is it going to look good? Am I going to be really disappointed?
Right. We thought it was honestly people messing with us because everybody who came by was with the same question. And eventually, we apologized to the people out there who asked it because we looked at you like, okay, what are you doing? Did people send you over? But no, it's a question that everybody in the whole wide world seemed to have. And there's a good reason that people talk about this and ask this question.
Oh, yeah.
We knew that replacing cabinets was expensive. Right? I mean, that's just something everybody knows. I didn't realize how expensive. So we did a little research and we dug into it and we realized that if you buy just the stock cabinets, you know, stuff that are just ready to go, it can be anywhere from $60 to $120 per linear foot.
Okay.
Now, all the way up to custom cabinets, they can be up to $1,200 a linear foot. So a pretty big gap.
Yeah.
But the the thing is, the linear foot, what that means is you measure the linear feet mm-hmm. of your base cabinets mm-hmm. and then make sure you measure the linear feet of your upper cabinets.
Right.
Add that together and then multiply it by, you know, whatever price it turns out to be.
Uh-huh.
So my kitchen.
Yes.
16 feet of base cabinets, mm-hmm. 12 feet of uppers.
Okay.
So 28 running feet. If yes. I did custom cabinets, because I do like the best things.
Right, of course.
Yeah. I don't ever buy the best things, but I like them.
Uh-huh.
If I did custom cabinets at $1,200 a linear foot, it would be about $33,000.
And that's where we needed a defibrillator in our studio.
Exactly. And that's why painting cabinets is such an incredible project, because you can make a huge impact in that room without dropping $33,000.
Yeah, it's incredible. And yes, we recognize that it is hard work to do this. And, you know, what people don't realize is you really can have good results. You just have to be prepared for what's coming, and you have to be a little bit organized when you go to do this project. That's kind of where you need to start, is with some organization of sorts.
All right. We're going to kind of run you through the basics of the project. We can't get to everything because there's so many different aspects of the project.
Right.
So for this particular discussion, let's just take the most common situation mm-hmm. that was presented to us at the home show. Somebody has stained and varnished or stained and lacquered cupboards and they want to paint them.
Right.
What do you do? Now, like we said, there are tons of other situations out there. If you've got one of those, and you're concerned or confused, that's what the stores at Repco Light in Port City are there for.
Right.
Give us a call, step out and see us, email Betsy and I at radio@repcolight.com, and we'll help you with that.
Right.
But for this discussion, stained and lacquered or stained and varnished cabinets, how do you get them painted, Betsy?
The key to this whole entire thing and having everything turn out kind of the way you're hoping for it to is prep work. We can never stress this enough. Prep work is going to make or break your entire project. So for this, it's relatively easy to do the prep work. It's just a lot of scouring and a lot of scrubbing, especially if you're doing kitchen
scouring.
Scouring.
Maybe you'll scowl while you scour.
Yes. It there might be some of that depending on how much grease you have.
Yeah.
Right. Just TSP and water is all you need to clean it up, and a Scotch-Brite pad, you know, one of those kind of coarse green scrubby pads, and go to town, because you have to get all of that grease and grime off of there in order for any of the paint to stick.
Right. The Scotch-Brite pad helps cut through that. The TSP mm-hmm. helps do that. The
right.
Scotch-Brite pad also dulls that finish that's on the cabinets already. So mm-hmm.
right.
Kind of doing double duty there.
Yep.
Go through, wash them, and then rinse the TSP really well, because the TSP will leave a residue, kind of a little powdery residue behind.
Yeah.
Make sure you rinse it off really well with clean water.
Right. Once you're done with that, then it's time to fill in any dents or dings that might have happened in the cabinets. You can just use a wood filler for that. Mm-hmm. Just the little spots, and then obviously let it dry. Then you need to go through and sand everything. We recommend a 180 grit sandpaper on all of the cabinet doors and all of their faces.
Right. If you go too much coarser than that, you're going to leave lines mm-hmm. that you'll actually see through the paint. The paint
right.
won't fill those entirely. You'll see them. And along those same lines, you need to be a little careful with orbital sanders.
Yes.
You know, I've had mixed results doing this myself on mm-hmm. projects, but if you've ever used one and then painted over the surface or stained it even sometimes, you can see all the little swirls
yep.
that get left.
Mm-hmm.
So that can happen on your cabinet. So you don't want to do that. So just take some caution when you're doing the sanding work.
Right. Now we have a couple of quick tips when it comes to pulling down your cabinet doors. The first thing you want to do is be sure to take down the bottom hinge before you take off that top hinge, because a lot of people, I've done this myself,
yes.
we take off the top hinge for whatever reason.
What's closer?
Well, and then the door falls away from the frame and
it
there's
hits
nothing.
Me in the face.
Well, you rip the hinge or you make the holes bigger, whatever.
Well, I did all of those things, Betsy. I like to yeah. not just do one mistake.
You
like
to do
wrap
all.
As many as possible into that.
Right.
So take off the bottom hinge first.
Right. It'll just save your hinges and your doors. Another thing to think about is make sure you label the doors so they go in exactly the same place as you took them off from, because that's another very common mistake. People just don't label them, and then where does it go? They all look the same, right?
Well, you think that they're just going to be interchangeable, but they're
right.
not. So
yes.
label them. That's
yep.
an oversight. But it, we speak from experience.
Yes,
label
we do.
Them. So once everything is sanded and once you've wiped all that dust off with a damp rag, then it's time to go to your primer. And we recommend, as we did at the show and to everybody we talk to, Sticks from Insulex. It's a company owned by Benjamin Moore. So basically, it's a Benjamin Moore product.
Yep.
We talk about it all the time on the show. It's a bonding primer. It's made to stick to all kinds of complicated, tough-to-stick-to surfaces.
Yeah.
It'll even stick to glass, tile, plastic, things like that.
Right.
It's going to be perfect on the cabinets. It's going to bond to that varnish or that lacquer coat, and then you're going to be able to put your finish paint over top of it. It's a water-based product, soap and water cleanup, easy to use. It's just the best way to go. Now,
right.
you don't have to go that route. Benjamin Moore has a number of Fresh Start primers. Just get the suitable one based on the situation you're working with. But we really recommend the Sticks.
Yeah, that,
as the ideal situation.
That bonding power is really what is going to make this project. It's going to make your top coat adhere so you don't have any peeling or cracking or chipping or anything
chipping like that. Chipping is the big thing that you're going to struggle with. Going from stained and varnished cabinets, which just get dinged up and you don't notice these chips, and then going to paint, that's where, you know, the problems come in. So if you put Sticks down, you are doing everything you can to make sure that you get the best results possible.
Right. Now, once you've primed it, you want to go back and sand everything down with a 220 grit sanding pad. Make sure, again, you go back through and wipe all of that dust off with a very, very lightly damp rag. You know, not soaked, just ever so lightly damp. You don't want to cut through that primer.
Exactly.
And then it's time for your finish paint. And you can see the finish line at this point. We are almost
there. You're almost
there.
Almost there. In fact, most of the work's been accomplished with the prep work and the primer and all of that. Now you're just to the step.
Right.
And for product, we recommend, as we have plenty of times on the show, Repco Light's own Hallmark.
It's fantastic.
A waterborne ceramic. It's very, very durable, very washable. Contractors all over West Michigan use this for trim and cabinet and doors.
Right.
It's just a great product. Great price point, and it's going to last and last. You can apply it with a sprayer, with a brush, with a roller, and you're going to get great results. That's Repco Light's Hallmark. We'd recommend probably a semi-gloss or a satin sheen. You don't want to go too much lower than that on cabinets.
Right.
The other option would be Benjamin Moore's Advance.
Yeah, you hear us talk about this product all the time because it's a newer technology. It's what they call a modified oil or a modified Elkid, and basically it's oil suspended in water. It gives you the best of both worlds. It gives you the durability and that beautiful finish that you get from an oil. It also gives you the flow and leveling. It has a little bit longer to dry like an oil would, so you have a really nice finish. But it's soap and water cleanup. We cannot talk enough about this product because it's so user-friendly. Brush and roll, you can spray it. It's an amazing finish.
Right. The only thing to consider with Advance is that because it is at least partly an oil-based product, it will yellow slightly.
Yes, so if you do white.
Right. Oil-based products will yellow significantly. Advance will yellow slightly. You know, definitely less than the normal oil-based, but more than a water-based product will. So if you choose a white, there's a chance that it will yellow slightly over time. You may not notice it until you go to touch it up. But if that's a concern, Hallmark will not yellow at all.
Right.
And that might be a better option for you.
Yep.
So there you go. Painting the cabinets. That's kind of the basics. But there are really tons of other things to consider that we could dig into. You know, how do you apply the paint?
Right.
You know, do you brush it? Do you roll it? Do you spray it? What's the best way?
Mm-hmm.
Are there special tools that will make the project go simpler and quicker?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are all kinds of questions. We know that. We just can't get to them all on one segment.
No.
So we'll do that in future segments.
Yes.
But if you happen to have that project on your plate right now, this weekend, and you really want those answers that we didn't get to, just stop out at any Repco Light or Port City Paint Store. We're open till 3 o'clock this afternoon. You can get those questions answered, or you can also email Betsy and I at radio@repcolight.com, and we'll answer whatever questions you've got.
Exactly. And if you like free stuff, you should be going to our Facebook page, because we are telling you right there how you can win our $100 gift certificate that we mentioned at the beginning of this show. We're running a contest on Facebook. All you have to do is look for the kitchen cabinet post and leave a comment. We would love to see pictures of your kitchen cabinets, you know, the ones that need to be updated, and that's why you need the $100 gift certificate. Or you can just leave us a comment about
describing your cabinet and why they need to be replaced.
In 100 words or less, please.
Yeah. So go to the Facebook page, find the post about kitchen cabinets right on the top, and then leave a comment, either a picture or a description of your cabinets. We'll choose a winner next week, and someone will have a $100 gift certificate to start their next project. I'm Dan Hansen.
And I'm Betsy Thompson. Remember, if you're about to lose your DIY sanity, we can help you fix that crazy.
And we'll answer any paint question you have whenever they pop into your head, no matter what time of day that is. We're like the Batman and women of the paint world. Right?
Do I get to wear a cape?
I wish we got capes.
Oh,
I wish we had
so cool.
Utility belts.
Yes.
Or even just a cool car.
I'd settle for that.
Yeah. Thanks for listening.